Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Friday, March 15th, 2024. It's the Ides of March, and nobody knows what that means, but it's provocative. Okay, people know what that means. In fact, we're going to talk about it today, because today's poem by David Leman is entitled The Ides of March. It's a poem full of allusion, literary and otherwise, not least of which is to William Shakespeare's classic, The Tragedy of Julius Caesar, which did not invent the Ides of March or the concept of being wary of the Ides of March, but it certainly served to help immortalize both. So we'll read the poem, talk a little bit about the Ides of March, and then read it one more time. Here is the Ides of March. The origin of every fortune is a crime. The Ides of March are a dangerous time. The ideas of March originate in wind. Madness may spring from a mind that hasn't sinned. The guides of March have scary stories to tell. The family money came from a corpse in an oil well. The editors of March fly to the moon and bring back April. The original sinner has learned to shave and say, "I will." You can trace each legacy back to the day when the id of March exposed the ego's feet of clay. The dice of March roll on the green felt tabletop. The suicides of March drive past the octagonal sign, "Stop." On the dais of March sit the deceased father and mother. Every happy family is different from every other. There's really quite a bit packed into this little poem. But to grasp a lot of it, we need to talk first about the Ides of March. The Ides of March are not a plural thing. Rather, the Ides of March is a date that falls in the middle of the month of March. In fact, in the Roman calendar, every month has an Ides or Idus. In Latin, along with a nones and a calends. These were terms used to refer to different portions of the month. In early Rome, the calendar was entirely based on the cycles of the moon, and so you would know when the month was begun or half over based on the cycle of the moon, and you would refer to those points with these different terms, the Ides corresponding to the full moon, the calends referring to the beginning of the month. Finally, though, the Romans fixed the beginning and end dates of each of their months and sort of standardized their calendar, and then the calends, nones, and Ides also settled into fixed places. The calends always being the first of the month, the Ides being the 15th of March, May, July, and October, and the 13th day of every other month. And then falling in between those was the nones, which was the 9th day before the Ides. So the 5th or the 7th. It was on the Ides of March that Julius Caesar was assassinated by a group comprised of his friends and political opponents, or maybe a group of his political opponents, some of which were his friends. In William Shakespeare's play, Julius Caesar, a soothsayer warns Caesar about his upcoming betrayal and says, "Beware the Ides of March." And he attempts to persuade him not to go to the Senate, where he will meet his doom. But he does anyway, lest he be thought a coward. And the rest is, as they say, history. Both in Shakespeare's play and in reality, there were a lot of competing ambitions at work in Rome in that fateful March. Caesar himself had already committed arguably a few crimes, including the crossing of the Rubicon with a Roman legion, which was against Roman law, and betraying a few of his friends and former allies in order to put himself into power as Rome's dictator for life, and the competing ambitions of men like Brutus and Cassius, who hoped to reestablish a Roman Republic with the blood of Caesar mixed into the quick-drying Roman concrete foundations. And it's there that we meet our poem. The origin of every fortune is a crime, we read in the opening line. And all of these men were certainly trying to establish their fortunes. And that wasn't the first time, nor would it be the last. The Ides of March are a dangerous time. The ideas of March originate in wind, like the spirit that comes and goes. From where and whence, nobody knows. Madness may spring from a mind that hasn't sinned. And pretty quickly then, we get a kind of vague parable about the deceits and dirty deeds that go into building fortunes and legacies in this world. The guides of March have scary stories to tell. The family money came from a corpse and an oil well. There's always, the speaker suggests, a little bit of blood or a few skeletons in the closet, wherever a legacy has been laid or a fortune has been made. And pretty quickly, we're brought back to the original sinners, Adam and Eve, and the fall of man. Those minds that hadn't sinned until madness sprung from them, and they did. The original sinners who learned to shave and say, "I will," right? That original transgression by our deceased father and mother, which we'll return to in the final line, was at least partly one of ignorance. They were both of them deceived. But whereas the original sinner commits a kind of sin of appetite and ignorance, eventually that original sinner grows up and that sin is replaced by one of maturity, one that owns a razor and knows its own will and can willfully choose to do wrong, knowing the consequences. And so we come to the next stanza. When the id of March exposed the ego's feet of clay. These are Freudian categories, the id being the morally, or the neutral, maybe not the right word, the amoral passions and appetites that have to be managed by the ego, which is the conscious self that negotiates between our moral sensibilities and our baser desires. But the moral of the poem seems to say, you throw the dice when you embrace the id and make that corpse and seize that ill-gotten oil well. The fates of those who act according to the blueprints in this poem sometimes meet a bad end. There are as many suicides as there are martyrs in March, the poem suggests. And then we come to the end, where all of this has been brushed over. The fathers and mothers who committed these acts and built for us the lives which we now live have been enthroned and enshrined, and the task of the contemporary person the task of the children's generation and every generation is to attempt to live with, make sense of, and finally make peace with those mixed legacies. And so he closes with an allusion to the opening lines of Tolstoy's novel, Anna Karenina. Every happy family is alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. And he sort of conflates and inverts those two ideas into one, maybe to say that there's no such thing as happy families, or that all those happy families have purchased their happiness in an ill-gotten way. Those are the more cynical readings, which definitely could follow from what has come before. Or he is really inverting the sentiment entirely and claiming that it's the unhappy families that are all alike because they all share this sordid history. Their unhappiness has come from their own choices and willful sins, and that it's the happy families that have arrived at their happinesses in any number of less questionable ways. If, however, you fit into the former camp, I suppose you should be mindful of the proverb, "Beware the Ides of March." Here's the poem one more time. The origin of every fortune is a crime. The Ides of March are a dangerous time. The ideas of March originate in wind. Madness may spring from a mind that hasn't sinned. The guides of March have scary stories to tell. The family money came from a corpse and an oil well. The editors of March fly to the moon and bring back April. The original sinner has learned to shave and say, "I will." You can trace each legacy back to the day when the id of March exposed to the ego's feet of clay. The dice of March roll on the green felt tabletop. The suicides of March drive past the octagonal sign, "Stop." On the dais of March sit the deceased father and mother. Every happy family is different from every other. This has been The Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with more poetry for you. To listen to any of our past episodes, or to subscribe or support the show, please visit dailypoempod.substack.com. For all of us here at Goldberry Studios, especially our long-suffering engineer, Logan Green, I'm Sean Johnson. Until next time, happy reading.